Good morning. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and just let me say how wonderful it is to be here with you this morning. My first time to have the opportunity to preach at our North Klein campus, and I'm really grateful to be here. This is now my fourth month on the job. And I've told the church, I just want to say at the outset, thank you so very much for being so patient with me as I am learning the ropes around here. I told various groups, you know, the first month, I just wanted to not get lost from my house to the church, okay? That was my goal the first month. We did that. And the second month, I wanted to get on every campus at least once, and I did that. Most campuses twice outside of Conroe would have happened had the ice storm not hit. And then the third month, just been meeting in small groups with people, and I really look forward to getting to know you better in the days ahead. And so, again, just thank you for being patient with me as I'm learning the church. I was at Jersey Village last week preaching for the first time, here preaching this week for the first time, and just really grateful to be here in Houston after 20 years in Dallas, which is where I met my wife. We have four little girls. If you've heard me speak before, I say I'm the president of my own sorority house, okay? I wouldn't have it any other way. I went for that third one to be a boy. And this is a lesson. Listen, you have not because you ask not, okay? I just knew God was going to even this thing out, you know, give me one girl, maybe even two. So I didn't even bother asking him. Got two more girls. People say, are you done? I'm done, all right? My hair, it's turning me gray up here. But I love these little girls. Wouldn't have it any other way. And so many of you have sent emails just saying that you're praying for us in our transition, and just thank you for that. As you can imagine, a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, it is quite the transition, and they're doing well. Nobody says, I hate you, Mom and Dad, and locking themselves in their room, all right? We're talking about it, processing it. Things are great, and I just let you know, I'm having the time of my life serving with people like your campus pastor, Stephen Morris. Man, I just love him and Chelsea, and just such a great friend, and I hope we're locking arms together for a long, long time doing ministry here in Northwest Houston. I said on my first week here, I think I did an intro video, I said I tried to hire him back in Dallas, and I'm really glad we didn't do it, that he told us no, because I'm glad he's here, and I recognize this morning that I'm standing on the shoulders of many people at Champion Forest who have gone before me. I've heard the stories of the blue crew getting it done, all right? I've heard, and I mean, let's just build another building so y'all can get back after it maybe. You seem to miss that time, so we'll get there. But really grateful to be here and really excited to open up God's Word with you. Isaiah chapter 41. We're in this series where we're talking about mental and emotional health issues, and I'm just of the opinion that we as a church have an obligation to speak to these issues, that we need to wade in, that we need to take God's word and encourage people as they are facing so many of these emotional issues like shame and grief and anger. And today we're going to talk about what we are to do with our fear. You know, fear has a way of holding us down, has a way of holding us back, locking us up. It affects our behavior. Fear is oftentimes rooted in childhood experiences. Others may be experiencing fear right now. Your fear is that you're going to head to the doctor and you've got to do some blood work, and you're fearing what that test result is going to come back as. Others of you, your fear is failure. It either locks you up and you never take risk, or I've met business people who drive themselves and others to unhealthy and unbalanced times in life because they're just always pushing, because there's this fear of failure. Or maybe it's your personality, right? There's some of us who are people pleasers by nature, and so we hate saying no because we feel like if we let that person down, we're going to be disappointing them, and all of this is rooted in this fear of rejection. Fear, it's everywhere. I mean, just look at the news. Look at the news this week. It fans the flame of fear. We see mass shootings, it seems, almost weekly now. Can't go to a grocery store to work without thinking about what would I do if a shooting took place? How would I respond? The media is often showing the tension that exists between police officers and people of color. Talk about fear. Our black and brown brothers and sisters are fearful to get pulled over or get out of the car because of past situations. There is a fear of injustice that lives in the heart of many. Our policemen, they're fearful because they know their response in moments of crisis or emergency could be played out in the media, second guess, and could end up costing them their jobs. I mean, if I'm honest with you today, there's a fear in me just bringing that up. Fear of how it'll be interpreted. Did I say too much? Did I not say enough? Fear. Think about COVID-19, the fears that it sparked in our lives. See people isolating themselves, scared to get the virus. This fear of death has been overwhelming to so many. It's handcuffed and immobilized us from moving forward. And so what do we do as Christians when we fear? Because everything I just mentioned here, they're legitimate fears. And that's what I'm talking about today. There's a difference between legitimate fear and illegitimate fear. Illegitimate fear is the spirit of fear, as Paul referred to it, that handcuffs you, locks you up. I had illegitimate fear in elementary school. It wasn't legitimate. We lived on about an acre of land, and we had outside dogs. So we had a pen out toward the back of our land. And it never failed. Every night, elementary kid, I can remember my dad saying, "Jarrett, go put the dogs up." And I never wanted to put the dogs up. Number one, I didn't like going out there at night. There were no lights. It was dark. I was an elementary kid. Number two, those dog pens backed up to a huge wheat field. And I just knew children of the corn lived out there, all right? I was just convinced of it. And so as a little kid, if a neighbor was watching me, I'm telling you, they would have thought this kid is crazy, because I would run as fast as I could to that dog pen, put the dogs up, and then run all the way back as fast as I could. It was just this spirit of fear. That's illegitimate fear. Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and said, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Former pastor Adrian Rogers of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, he describes legitimate fear and illegitimate fear, contrast it like this. Legitimate fear is like a thunderstorm. The lightning flashes, the thunder rolls, the water pours down, then the storm passes, the clouds roll back, and the sun shines again. The spirit of fear, illegitimate fear, is just like a constant darkness, a drizzle, a fog. You live in it. God has not given you that kind of spirit. That's not productive. That's negative. That's unreasonable. Paul said, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Now, this goes back to what Stephen preached last week when we talk about our positional nature, who we are in Christ. When we enter into a personal relationship with Christ, he changes us. He gives us a new mind. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new identity. Romans chapter 8 said, we are now more than conquerors. And as more than conquerors in Christ, this is who we are. We are not to have a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. In Isaiah chapter 40, the people of Israel are in a relationship with God. Covenant relationship with him. But because of their consistent sin and rebellion against him, God, in judgment, sends other nations to overtake them and leads his chosen people, sends them into exile. They're living in a foreign land under pagan rulers that certainly don't share their beliefs, nor do they care what their beliefs are. The people of God are in a desperate situation. They long for relief. They long for a better life. They're defeated. They're discouraged. They see no hope for a brighter future. You better believe they are fearful. They think God has forgotten them, that he is not looking after them. Anybody ever been there? It's a fearful thing when you're praying and you don't feel like your prayers are going past the roof. God, have you forgotten me? Talk about fear. They fear that God has written them off. And it's in this moment that God sends Isaiah the prophet, and he gives them a message. And the message that he gives to the people of Israel is the title of the message today. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so. Write it down. Here's the message. Two words. Fear not. Fear not. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Look at what the Bible says. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Two commands given in this one verse of Scripture, and five reasons God gives that these commands can be embraced and obeyed. They are five commitments that God makes to us. Let's look at the commands first. Very simple. The first one is to fear not. It's right there in black and white. The second one is be not dismayed. Also can be translated, don't look anxiously about. See, these go hand in hand, don't they? When there is fear, we begin to look anxiously about. There begins dismay or distress. They go hand in hand. Now, on the surface, I read these two commands, do not fear, do not be dismayed. And here's what I think when God writes these. Easy for him to say, right? I mean, he's God. He's not going through what I'm going through right now. Fear not. Be not dismayed. I mean, let's just play this out. Let's just say you scheduled a counseling appointment with Pastor Stephen or Pastor Lewis or me, and you come into our offices and you sit down and you say, I have this fear. I lost my job, and I'm fearful that I'm going to get another one. I'm fearful of the timing on this. Or maybe you're a young adult in here and you're single and you want to be in a relationship and relationships just haven't worked out, and for you the time is ticking and there's this overwhelming fear just looming over you that you're going to be alone, and you talk to us about that and you just say, I just have this fear that I'm going to be alone. Or maybe you're a young couple in the room and you're trying to get pregnant and you just can't get pregnant, and you talk to us about your fear that we're never going to be able to have children. And we look at you, and we listen to you, and we say, hey, fear not. Be not dismayed. Thanks for coming in today. What would you be thinking? Let me tell you what you'd be thinking. You'd be thinking about finding another church real quick. You'd be thinking about, did they go to seminary for this? Is this really how they train them? And you'd be right to think this way. This is exactly why God doesn't hesitate or wait long after giving these commands. Notice they're immediately followed by commitments that he makes to us. There are five commitments, okay? And when we embrace these commitments, when we walk in these commitments, they will make living the fear not life, the be not dismayed life possible. Now, these five commitments, important to understand this, were made to the nation of Israel who were in a covenant relationship with him. For us today, we are in a covenant with God through a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. Important to understand, because the commitments that God makes to us in this covenant, they are only for those who are in a relationship with him. This is why knowing Christ in a personal way is so very important. This is why turning from your sin and giving the lordship of your life over to Christ is so critical. Because these commitments that God has are only for his children. Now, I liken these five commitments to the vaccine shot, all right? COVID, most of you who have had the shot, regardless of what you believe about it, if you've had it, you've probably had the one where you've got to get two rounds, right? And you get those two rounds, and you get those two rounds of shots, and it's supposedly highly, 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 highly unlikely that you will catch the virus. Well, these commitments that God makes to us, if we will believe them, if we will receive them, if we will walk in them, it's like five rounds of a shot that will inoculate our lives to living in fear. But you got to take each one. We'll work them out one by one. This series is called Resilient. We're coming back stronger than ever. And today we're coming back stronger than ever from fear. You got to take the shots. Here it is. Shot number one. Commitment number one is this. God is with me. I put it in first person. So as you write this down and you look at it later on this week, you can own it. You can make it yours. This is a commitment God is making if you are in a relationship with Him. Look at verse 10 again. Fear not, for I am with you. Now, this is a wonderful commitment that God makes to us. I think it's the greatest promise in all of Scripture. This afternoon, we're going to have a COVID service of remembrance at our Champions campus at 3 o'clock. And God just put this in our heart. We just know that so many people have lost loved ones due to COVID here in the past year, or lost one, someone they love during the year. And because of the protocols of the pandemic, we're not able to have a memorial service. And so just trying to exemplify the tender heart of Christ to our community, we thought, why don't we have this COVID service of remembrance and just invite anybody here just to provide hope and healing that comes in Christ. We're going to sing great songs of the faith. Great is thy faithfulness. We're going to read scripture. We're going to pray. I have a family that's going to share about a loss that they went through during this COVID season. Then I'm going to get up and share a brief message of hope from God's word. And you're more than welcome to come. We have no idea if there's going to be 5 people there or 500 people there. And you know what? We don't care, because we just know God told us to do it and we're going to do it. But if you want to come and pray and support, you're more than welcome to. But the text I'm going to be preaching from today, Psalm chapter 23. We all know it. That great shepherd leading us, guiding us. You remember Psalm chapter 23, verse 4? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. I could take you Genesis to Revelation, and you could see this promise, I am with you, laced throughout. Genesis, God calls Abraham to go to a land that he's never seen, begin a nation that doesn't even exist. Abraham doesn't know what to do, and you know what God tells him? I will be with you. Moses, he's in the backside of a desert when God shows up, says, I want you to confront Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time. I want you to lead my people out of bondage and slavery that they've been in for 400 years. Moses is terrified for his life, says, how am I going to do this? And God says, I'll be with you. When he passes the baton to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, what's repeated over and over and over again? Be strong and courageous. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. Gideon, he's called to be the judge of Israel, from the smallest of clans, the smallest of people. He even tells the angel of God that. And what does the angel of God say? Don't you fear. You go up against those Midianites, for God is with you. David goes up against Goliath. He's in a fight for his life. There's fear there, of course. But you know what David says? He says, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, is with me. Look at the Christmas story. You look at the Christmas story, it's all about fear. You got the fear of the Israelites, who are 400 years of silence, haven't heard from God. He's with them. Angel shows up to Mary and says, what's the first message? Fear not, God is with you. Says the same thing to Joseph, says the same thing to the shepherds. His very name means Emmanuel. God is with us. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is about to ascend back to the Father. He gives the Great Commission. And what is his final parting words? I am with you always, even until the end of the age. This is the greatest promise in all of the Bible. The fact that the Lord our God is with us, and he's with us always and forever. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the second part. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, moment of truth. Moment of truth. If you're facing a fearful situation, a fearful circumstance, and you knew Jesus was walking into that doctor's office with you, you knew Jesus was right beside you as you confront that situation. He had your back. Truly. He's right there. What would you fear? Nothing. And the reality is, our faith says Jesus isn't right there with us. He lives inside of us. And so commitment number one is that God is with me. Commitment number two, God is my God. It's personal here. Again, look at verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not be distressed. Don't look anxiously about, for I am your God. This week, I was in the studio. I've got my second book releasing in June called The Always God. That's why I love singing that song earlier called Always. And I was in the studio this week reading for the audiobook that comes out. So if you're having a hard time sleeping, buy that audiobook. It'll put you right to sleep, all right? And I didn't think this was going to be that big of a deal, but they said, schedule 3 days. I thought, 3 days? Give me a break. I'm telling you, after 2 days of reading for 6 hours straight, you are ready for a nap. And so I read this, and so as I'm reading, I get to chapter 7. I wrote this book last year during the quarantine, during the shutdown. And I wrote it. I don't even remember what's in it, right? So I'm reading it for the first time. I get to chapter 7. And you know what the title of that chapter is called? Encouraging the Fearful. And I knew I was preaching on it this week. I thought, this is amazing, right? I got a head start on sermon prep while I'm in here reading. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, this is really good. Like, I can't believe it. It's like, this is good. And so, a little early reading here. Let me give you just a paragraph that I write in there as it relates to fear. And it fits good with this idea of God being a personal God. God is my God. Picture a fourth grader being bullied at school. Then imagine that fourth grader becoming best friends with the biggest, toughest fifth grader at the school. Each day they walk to and from home and school together. Is the fourth grader going to be afraid of the mean kid who used to pick on him? Not anymore, because he now has someone with him who is bigger. Our God, bigger than any fear you have. He's Elohim. He's the creator God of the universe. Spoke everything out of nothing. Isaiah reminds the people of Israel this. Just turn back one chapter. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 12. Look at the question Isaiah asked. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has done this? Look at verse 15. Behold, the nations, large nations, are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like they're fine dust. That's how big our God is. Look at verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. You take your biggest fear in life. What is it? I mean, a study done recently, a few years ago, number one fear for the average American, you want to know what it is? Public speaking. Doing what I'm doing right now. You want to know what the number two fear was? Death. Jerry Seinfeld made this joke. He said, this means to be the average person, if you have to be at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy. So take your biggest fear. Whatever it is, and guess what? It ain't bigger than God. Greatest bully we have, biggest enemy we'll ever face, is the one Scripture calls death. But we can even look at death and not fear or be dismayed because of the God that we serve. And that God is our God. It's personal. Commitment number one, God is with me. Commitment number two, God is my God. Some of you are already feeling inoculated from fear already, but we got a couple more rounds of shots. Here we go. Commitment number three, God will strengthen me. You say, Pastor Jerry, where do you get this from? Verse 10. Look at what it says. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Laid out right here in Scripture. You know, fear has a way of paralyzing us, doesn't it? Locks us down. Fear can silence us. Fear can make the strongest person in here feel so weak. And so how do we get God's strength? How does he strengthen us? Well, the answer from Scripture is We wait on him in prayer. This is what Isaiah chapter 40 tells us. Look at verse 28 through 31. See, while God is our God, he's a personal God. Important to note today, he is altogether different from me and you. He's strong. He's mighty. Bible says he doesn't sleep or slumber. I mean, the fact that we have to take naps should remind us that we are not God. Look at what the scripture says in verse 28 of Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Look at this. He gives power to the faint. See, this goes back to when we're weak, the scripture says, that's when we're really strong. Why? Because we're getting God's strength. He strengthens us, namely by giving us himself. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Take the youngest of the young that are the strongest of the strong of the young men. And even they get tired and exhausted. But God never does. And he says, those who wait for the Lord, wait for him in prayer, abiding in the vine, remaining in him, they will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We've seen in this one passage of scripture, God gives us his presence. I am with you. He's a personal God. He is our God. Here we see him giving us his power. And we get this power just like any light in our home or here in the church gets its power. You've got to stay connected to the source. That's what it means to abide in him, to remain on in him, to wait on him in prayer and dependence. The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, think about this, gives us his power. Amazing. You fear sharing your faith, students, with someone at school? Mom and dad, fear sharing your faith with your neighbor, your person at the office? What's going to give you strength to face that fear? You've got to stay plugged into the source of Jesus. You fear confronting and forgiving that person that hurt you and offended you? How do you combat that fear? Where do you get your strength? You get it from abiding in Christ, waiting on him, trusting in him, praying to him. You fear giving up that sin that's got such a death grip on your life. Can't imagine what life would be like without this sin. I'm telling you, you bring it to Jesus and let him give you his power, and you can overcome any sin, any habit, any hang-up, any addiction. You've got to stay connected to him. He will give you his strength. Commitment number one, God is with me. Commitment number two, God is my God. Commitment number three, God will strengthen me. Here's commitment number four, God will help me. God not only strengthens us, but he supports us. He helps us. That's what verse 10 says there. I will help you. Again, the emphasis here needs to be on the relationship. They are in a covenant relationship with him. And what has happened is they're going through a tough time. They're facing their fear that they've been neglected, forgotten about. And God has to come on the scene and remind them of some things. Because you know what happens when we face fearful situations and circumstances? We can lose our mind, right? We forget in the dark what God has oftentimes shown us in the light. And so he reminds them of who he is. Look at verses 8 and 9 there of Isaiah chapter 41. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you who I took from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest corner, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. He's just reminding them, listen. Just because you're facing a fearful situation, and oh, by the way, when you're in a relationship with the Lord, any situation you face has filtered through his holy hands. He hadn't forgot about you, hadn't neglected you, always with you. He's reminding them in this moment that you're my people, you're my friend, I'm for you. See, when fears confront us, typically what happens when I say we lose our minds always go to worst case scenario, right? I mean, the engine light comes on in my car, and I've already got a new transmission in my mind I'm going to have to pay for. We always go to worst case scenario. You remember the disciples when Jesus got them in a boat, Mark chapter 4? He gets them in a boat. He's in the boat with them. And he says, we're going to the other side. And so they're out in the middle of the lake. And if you remember, a storm comes. And it's white capping. And there's water coming in over the boat a little bit. And these are seasoned fishermen. And they are scared for their life. And what is Jesus doing? Do you remember? He's asleep in the stern of the boat. What's rocking their world is rocking him to sleep. And the same is true for you. Whatever's rocking your world, I'm telling you, Jesus isn't worried about it. These disciples lose their mind. They wake Jesus up. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, the second part. They woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They weren't perishing. Jesus is asleep. If they were perishing, he'd be up. But their fears overwhelmed them. And now they're thinking, you don't care for us, Jesus? You're just going to let us die in this? Jesus wakes up, and what does he do with one word? He speaks, peace, be still. And that rough water becomes as smooth as glass. Fear distorts our thinking. This is why the role of the mind as we deal with our emotions is so very important. This is why we said last week, think about your positional nature, who you are in Christ. You cannot live off of your feelings. Your feelings will be up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. There is one truth, and that is the truth of God's word. I'm not saying your feelings are not legit. They are. But they've always got to be the caboose on our life, not the engine that's driving. If I lived off my feelings, I'm telling you right now I'd be 350 pounds because I feel hungry all the time. We don't live off our feelings. We live off truth. And the truth is, God is our God who strengthens us and wants to help us. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in our time of need. Commitment number one, God is with me. Commitment number two, God is my God. Commitment number three, God will strengthen me. Commitment number four, God will help me. Commitment number five, God will uphold me. Look at the last part of verse 10 there. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That right hand is a symbol of power. And authority. Jesus would say, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. No one can snatch them out of my hand. You know what some of my favorite pictures are of me and my girls? It's when they're real little and they were just starting to walk. And it's when their mom, maybe we were walking in a park somewhere or to a restaurant and I got in front of them holding one of the little girls' hands or two of them right here. And it's a picture their mom took of just the back of us walking, holding their hands. I thought about those pictures in reading this verse. You know, when those girls were little, they weren't holding my hand. I was holding their hand. And there was no way they were going to slip. There was no way they were going to fall and scrape a knee. You know why? Because I had a death grip, a daddy death grip on their hands. I don't care if you're the oldest person in the room. You can be 107. You're still a little child to God. And I'm telling you, your God's got your hand, and he will hold you up. The scripture says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Their foot does not slip. And when it does, he'll hold you up. God is with me. God is my God. God will strengthen me. God will help me. And God will uphold me. I'm telling you. You believe these truths. You receive them by faith. And you walk in them. You will live a resilient life. And come back from whatever fear you may be struggling with. Stronger than ever. Amen? Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Bow your heads in prayer with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a time in our service that we call the invitation. Essentially, what we're doing in this moment is asking you to respond to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. And God is inviting some of you to personal faith in Him. You've listened to me preach today, and that whole idea of having a personal relationship with God, you know the fact is you don't. And I'm telling you today, in a moment, you can walk into a personal relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus. How does that happen? By turning from your sins and by asking Jesus to come live and rule and reign in your heart. That means I'm going to stop being my own God. I'm going to start doing my own thing, going my own way. And God, I want you to be the leader of my life. In a simple prayer of faith, just saying, Jesus, save me. You can positionally be changed right now. Go from being what the Bible calls a child of wrath to being a child of God. Go from being a son or daughter of darkness and be transferred immediately into the kingdom of light just by trusting in the Lord, calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, not might be saved, not could be saved, will be saved. If you want salvation today, you want to be in a personal relationship, you want this strength and this help that only God can give to those who are His children, you've got to be born again. You've got to become His child today. So in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And if you want to receive Christ into your life, I just want to encourage you to come down and you tell one of our pastors that will be standing here, one of our prayer partners, I'm trusting in Christ. If you want to join this church, I'm telling you, there's a lot of great churches in this area. But as I'm growing to love Champion Forest, there's not a church like this. We're not a perfect church. And if you're perfect, don't join it because you'll mess it up, all right? We're not a perfect church. But we're a church that loves Jesus. We're going to preach God's word. We're going to try to help people to the best way that we can. We're going to share His message with as many people as we can. If you want to be a part of a church like that, come forward and just tell one of the pastors, I want to join the church. We'll sign you up for our membership class, and that's where you can join the church. Just come forward. If you want to be baptized, that's your identification as a believer. You want to show the world what you believe and to whom you belong. You come forward. Maybe there's a fear. Man, it's got you. You're handcuffed. It's paralyzed you. There's power in prayer. Our pastors are here to pray with you. Our prayer partners are here to pray with you. That's why we're here. It'd be a joy to pray with you and ask God to unlock any fear in your life, to overwhelm you with His love and His presence so that you can walk not in a spirit of fear, but in power and love and a sound mind. Whatever decision you're making, we're going to pray, then we're going to stand and sing. And if you have a decision, I want you to come. Father, in Jesus' name, this is your time of invitation. We're grateful for your word that's spoken to hearts. And now, Lord, we have only one response, and that is to respond by faith to what you're speaking to our hearts in this time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you look up, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Our pastors and prayer partners are going to be here and here and here and here. And if you have the decision, I want you to come right now. If you came with someone, they'll come with you as we begin singing. You come right now. Come on.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.